Welcome back to our coverage of President Obama's proposals for curbing gun violence. Part of his $5 million plan calls for improving mental health services, strengthening the background check system, removing barriers in federal law that may limit how much information mental health professionals can share so that they can report potentially dangerous people. We reported yesterday on New York's new gun law. It was passed yesterday. One provision would require therapists, doctors, and nurses to report to local mental health officials when they believe patients are likely to harm themselves or others, and then those officials may contact the police, who may be able to confiscate any guns those patients might have. Well, there's concern about all of this within the mental health community. Dr. Stephen Dubofsky is chair of the Department of Psychiatry at State University of New York at Buffalo. And Dr. Dubofsky, I'm hoping you can help us understand, because we understood that there was already a requirement of psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, a kind of a duty to report if they felt that there was someone dangerous. So first of all, tell us what you think the existing law is, and then let's talk about these proposals.
There is currently a duty to protect. So if you have a patient who you feel is imminently suicidal, you are required by statutes, practice guidelines, licensing requirements, and so forth, to protect that patient, which usually involves putting the patient in a setting where the patient is safe, which is most frequently in a hospital, because the acute suicidal risk is usually short-lived. Most research shows it lasts about 2 to 3 days that people are acutely suicidal, regardless of the underlying cause. There is no current duty to report someone who is suicidal to anyone. However, you are permitted to violate the patient's confidentiality if that's necessary to protect the patient. So, for example, you might have to send the police out to the patient's home to bring the patient into the hospital, but the primary duty is to protect the patient. Similarly, if you believe that a patient poses an imminent risk to a specific victim or victims, you are obligated to protect that victim. And usually that involves the same intervention, that is placing patients in settings where they can't hurt anyone, and whatever the acute disruption is that's making them dangerous can be treated.
And I'm just going to jump in to say a lot of people in discussing this are referring back to the Tarasoff decision in California. This was the case of a UC Berkeley student who was shot and killed after a therapist warned campus police that the shooter might be a threat, but everyone decided against hospitalizing him, and then he ended up killing the young girl. Now, the California Supreme Court there ruled that mental health professionals had this, as you say, duty to protect third parties from harm. Let that young girl know. But the New York law is about reporting somebody to authorities, and then authorities may alert police. So just what's your sense of this shift that you're feeling and anything that you're hearing in the White House proposal?
In the first place, the Tarasoff finding was contrary to the duty to report. And as you said, this is a case of someone who murdered a college student, who murdered another college student, revealed a specific plan to the therapist. The therapist warned the campus police. Campus police went to talk to the guy. He said, no, I'm not going to do it, and then he murdered her. And that finding was, you are liable. It wasn't, there was a law that
right.
You have to do something, but you will be liable if you don't protect that potential victim, and this applies throughout the United States. The law, the new law in New York State is quite different. It makes clinicians agents of the state in reporting anyone they think might be dangerous, and this has two very severe implications for mental health care. The first is that clinicians are going to be worried about, you know, what do I have to report? This patient has fantasies, you know, they don't like so-and-so, and they have fantasies of killing them. You know, does that reach the threshold that I have to report patients for what they think? And then, as I said, it makes you an agent of the state. This is something that was true in the USSR before it closed. It's still true in countries like North Korea, Iran, and Saudi Arabia, and has never been true in the United States. Secondly, it will have an enormously chilling effect on anybody wanting to see a psychiatrist for any reason, because if you've had any kind of a violent fantasy, and you want to know who has violent fantasies? Everybody. Just watch TV, read the newspapers. Everyone has these fantasies. Only a very tiny minority of people act on them. So if you report this kind of fantasy, is your therapist or your doctor going to call the cops? And what are the cops going to do? They'll check to see if you have a gun. What do they do next? Do they break your door down?
But the New York law isn't about calling the cops directly. It's about calling, you know, the state mental health authorities, who then might determine to call the cops. But I take your point. But do you understand, though, how people might think that it makes sense that there's some kind of registering somewhere of somebody who's made a threat against someone else? And that brings us to the National Instant Criminal Background Check system. Right now, it's against federal law to sell a gun to someone with a history of mental illness, you know, who's been committed. But information about that isn't shared in the criminal background check system. And I know the president wants to increase incentives so people do that. Do you object to that?
In the first place, I think it's a mistaken notion to say that anyone who ever makes a threat against anybody is dangerous and therefore should be in a national data bank.
No, I'm talking about people with a history of mental illness.
But I was responding to the first part of your comment about it seems to make sense to people that if you ever make a threat against anyone, it ought to be reported to someone so you can be tracked. And I think that's a very dangerous thing to do because it involves so much judgment about what's a credible threat. I think that's just an extremely dangerous.
And just briefly, your thoughts on the registry for someone with a history.
When you say anybody with a history of being hospitalized for a mental illness, that includes people hospitalized for depression, obsessive compulsive disorder.
One can see the problems that would arise. We hear you. We are going to pick this up with you. We need more time. Dr. Dubofsky of the Buffalo University, thank you so much. We'll pick it up with him again.